And good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome, guys. Welcome, dear listeners, here to the business and economic segment here, your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Now, as you guys exited, the discussion points coming through on the home run there with Wanda in terms of the in-depth discussion regarding the corporal punishment approach. We are still stepping into awe. We now have to, you know, take off one hat and put on a different hat on in terms of current affairs. And this is still sticking in within the same, you know, sort of ramifications in terms of the ongoing discussion in terms of business and economic news. Now, just touching a little bit on, some important developments that came through during the course of today. One essentially being that the United States is on high alert in terms of a mass shooting incident that took place on one of their most busiest train stations on the East Coast of their country, this being in Brooklyn, New York. Now, if things that, you know, as in terms of the ongoing Russian-Ukraine conflict have not been, you know, has not placed the world at its sort of like highest edge or placed the world on edge for the past two and a half months already. We now have this incident playing off in the United States. Second onto that is also Sweden and Finland also being threatened by Russia in terms of seeking some form of membership with NATO. Now, just in our discussion of last night with regards to the energy ministry here in Namibia, indicating that Namibia's energy consumption has been growing by 3.5% annually, meaning per year. Look, to me, that sounds good, meaning, you know, it shows some form of activity taking place. But as I alluded to in last night's discussion regarding, you know, you still have far-flung rural communities that have not seen a light switch, that does not know what electricity supply looks like. Of course, that is a mandate that a local authority is supposed to exercise. That is a developmental strategy that is supposed to be implemented on the local authority front. For sure. But all of the other statistics and items, you know, that I touched on in terms of the aspect regarding energy supply, which is predominantly out of South Africa. South Africa, which also has the only nuclear power plant they've got the oldest one on the African continent. It still has to be safe in terms of understanding, do the other countries have it? But nonetheless, South Africa's energy supply has been the most stable. If you had to look out throughout the history of the African continent and energy supply, the energy that we have here, the electricity we see here, we in Namibia have better energy supply, or we enjoy better energy supply than the South Africans even. And we buy it from South Africa. Now, here's a little bit of a forecast, guys. And this forecast is based upon precedents in terms of what happened before the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Now, the Russia-Ukraine conflict saw, first and foremost, sort of like a standoff in terms of a Cold War setting taking place. You know, things were warming up. You can use both sorts of, both sets of types of, colorful language in terms of indicating either a cold front or either things heating up in terms of, you know, people getting close to going to war with each other. So in that same sense, we now see movements happening on the Russian-Finnish borders. In terms of the last 24 hours, let's say more or less 2 days, because Finland borders on with Sweden. Sweden borders on with Norway. Norway is the last of those NATO allies or NATO members. I say the last between those Scandinavian countries, the last, because the other two guys that are the closest to Russia is Sweden and Finland. Sweden and Finland, of course. Finland themselves have had a long-standing history with Russia. More importantly, the the Finnish-Russian War that took place just before the First World, before the Second World War, in terms of where the Soviet Union, the USSR, had tried to invade Finland. But enough of that history lesson itself. The history lesson that I want to point to is in terms of we can perhaps see movements taking place within the next couple of days in terms of energy prices, international energy prices for that matter. Why do I say this? It was the same scenario in terms of when Russia was amassing its invasion force on the Russian-Ukraine border. Oil prices were, you know, going up. Well, not up in terms of here at the pump, but in terms of the international battle for oil. Plus, the Russian ruble was somewhat also escalating in terms of, well, you can call it escalating in value, or it was sort of like becoming less, depreciating in value against the US dollar. They were at 60 ruble for $1 at the beginning of this year, meaning 1 January. And by the end of January, they were, end of January, they were already standing at 80 ruble for $1. Now, if anything in terms of, you know, the telltale signs that we've witnessed there, and this is one of the major fears that I have, guys. I know we are in Namibia, we are in Southern Africa, far, far, far away from whatever is happening there in Europe with regards with between Russia and the NATO members. Far, far away. But in terms of how quickly things are escalating, specifically with regards to Russia's closest neighbors, that being Finland and Sweden. Well, Sweden is technically not a neighbor of Russia, but Sweden nonetheless is in close proximity of Russia. Here's the major fear, guys. The major fear is that this becomes a prolonged situation. Well, it's all good and well. It's all noble and well in terms of, you know, whatever interventions that the Russian leadership had in terms of in Ukraine. It's their noble interventions. I'm not condoning any of these actions because it's war. War is not, it's not a nice thing to experience nor to see. War actually puts a country 25 years. Is it 25 years or is it actually 50 years? War puts a country 50 years behind in development. War is not the best place. But how these telltale signs affect us, Yirso in Namibia, here in Namibia, how it affects us is the unfortunate thing is that just last week, we saw a petrol price or a diesel price increase. That means, and I made this prediction just last week. I told someone here in the studio, told a handful of colleagues, this is not the last petrol price nor the last diesel price increase we will see for the first 6 months. The first 6 months, guys, we only know halfway. We're now what? In the second quarter. We're now in Q2. This is not going to be the last petrol price for these first 6 months. We're now in April. April is month one in the next 3 months, up to June. We're not going to see the last petrol price increase, guys. We are going to see perhaps another one. And last week's one was not the last one that we will see. Now, I know, Uncle Bwana mentioned it last night in terms of, you know, highlighting the stake in terms of the oil discovery we had. Guys, let me stress this now already. Let's leave the stake discussion regarding the oil finds that we had that were discovered. The Total Energies and the Shell. Leave it. Because to talk about it means that we're already producing, that we're already probably refining, or, you know, activities already taking place. The thing, they were just discovered. They still need to do their tests. They still need to work out their formulas. And believe me, it's all based upon engineering formulas in terms of reaching those oil deposits. So those things still have to take place. And just to quote even what the MD of Namcor said when I interviewed him for the early morning scoop in February. Was it Feb? Yeah, in Feb. Mr. Mulungu, when he said, you know, that still is like minimum 5 years away. Minimum 5 years. So it's 5 years from now. So that makes it 2027. Minimum 5 years from now. Meaning, if market expectations or if market things work out in favor of Namibia and these two energy companies and their stakeholders and also, you know, any other affiliated parties, probably they could stick to the five-year timeline. If it's not the five-year timeline, then by 2030, we might only see the first barrels being pumped from those wells. So let's leave the oil. Let's leave the stake of the oil discussion. Let's leave that part. Here's another thing that I read late earlier today, and this sent us into this energy discussion. Now, as we've known, guys, climate change has been the major part, that the major discussion round coming through from COP26 last year, plus our government's active drive to get everyone onto the green hydrogen, you know, initiative. Well, that's good. But it now puts more impetus, or not more impetus, it now makes it look like we're actually working against the clock. Because here's the thing, guys, there is no way that the petrol price increases that we see will be a sustainable for all. Do you know why? Even from my limited marketing, you know, education that I've had at Polytechnic before it became NUST, if there was one strategy that you never actually implement, it's actually two strategies that relate to the same thing. And it's regarding your price. The one is you never undersell yourself, which is the basics in any business principle. You never undersell yourself. You never undersell your product. You never undersell your company. Meaning you're always there to try and get the maximum dollar that you can. But you never undersell. You never engage in a price war also. If you don't know what a price war is actually when you and a competitor or someone that offers a service or the similar service or similar product, you start discounting on your products because you just want to attract as much clients as possible. You never do that. You never discount. If you do discount, then it has to be for your best clients, and they sure as hell, they've got to buy the whole shop, the whole stock in your shop. Make sure they buy everything. Then you give them a discount. That's the principle of business. You never undersell. Now, here's the other thing also, the opposite spectrum of a pricing strategy. You never outprice yourself, meaning you don't put on such a high price, or you never incur such high, sort of like what you call it, price increases or consistent price increases that you actually become an inconvenience to anyone or to everyone or to your major clients. Because here's the thing, guys. More and more, a bicycle is really starting to look very, you know, attractive to me. More and more, I'm thinking about buying another scooter, you know, a motorcycle, a scooter for $15,000 Namibian. Even if I have to import it from South Africa, I'm starting to look at those things. I'm starting to actively sit on Janjapan websites and, or SBT Japan or whatever of those, any of those, importing platforms to look for a scooter. Not for a four-cylinder or a three-cylinder or a four-wheel drive car. No, not a car. A scooter. Because I tell you what, guys, here's the trick. Have you ever seen $20 fill up a tank? Have you ever seen $20 fill up a tank? And this is just a 250cc. Do you know how big a 250cc is? It's technically just a two-cylinder engine. Technically. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I know on my side, experiencing another fuel price is just not, it's just not a convenience. It doesn't look like a benefit to me. It's all good and well. We've got the Ministry of Mines and Energy indicating through their press releases every week. And it's a good job. I mean, that the PRO there does, Andrea Simon. He does a pretty good job in terms of keeping us abreast in terms of that information. But here's the thing. It's not good news. Now, is it? It's not. For those of you that depend, and in terms of a livelihood, especially the transport industries, my interviews with even the guys with the last petrol price increase that took place in March, they were not happy, and that included the guys from NAPTA, from the other union, Naretu, from cab drivers even, and even transport guys. They were not happy. They were not happy, even here on the radar, just 2 weeks back, where our bulletin team, our news bulletin team, was, you know, talking even to people on the street, where the cab drivers were saying, you know, we are now at the mercy of our clients. Because how? I mean, there's even a meme, and I know this meme is supposed to be a joke, but this meme actually will start seeing people negotiating with the taxi drivers. And that's not what a taxi driver want, because the taxi driver is also there trying to earn a living. You don't want to be negotiated into underselling yourself as well. That's not the way to go. That's not the way to make money or to try and make a living. Because the whole thing, even though the taxi industry and major parts of the transport industry, which includes passenger transport essentially, is deemed somewhat as an informal sector. Yes, guys, it is deemed somewhat as an informal sector. Kali Schlettwein made this famous quote in terms of when he was back the finance minister, before he became the agricultural minister. He said the informal sector is one of the major things that they wanted to tap into in terms of the tax revenue generation, or, you know, generating revenue from taxes. But in terms of how to tax the informal sector, which includes street vendors, taxi drivers, and other forms of people that do not declare their earnings, how do you do that? Now, here's the thing, guys. Most of everyone who operates within the informal business sector, most of everyone, those are usually the entrepreneurs in your economy that are not shielded by any price increases in the fuel price. They're not shielded. There is no discounts. There are no contract agreements. These are people that are trading, day-to-day trading, in order to live from month to month. Yeah, there are success stories of a handful of, you know, entrepreneurs in that sector that have, well, if I can call them like a fairy tale. If we can call them those fairy tale success stories, for sure, there's a handful of them. But those are people that had a clear focus of how to reach the goal that they wanted to achieve. That's their dedication. That's their concentration. For example, there's this guy that was on high school with my brother when we stayed in Rehoboth, and he was unemployed for a while, but he entered the informal sector just to buy a house and a car for his family. Probably the main aim was just to aim for those two fixed assets. Well, a car is actually not a fixed asset, but it's actually, for those who have accounting, you all know that a car is actually a liability as opposed to a property, a standing property. But nonetheless, he was aiming to support his family in that endeavor. He got it right through being focused in the approach, and also just being on concentrating on what he had to do. Now, if you're a street vendor, and technically he was a vendor, if you're a street vendor, if you're a taxi driver, anyone operating in the informal sector, this does not bode well for anyone. It doesn't bode well for anyone. It doesn't bode well for me, because all I'm doing is I'm staying away from nightlife now. You will see people going like, yay, you know, putting up their WhatsApp statuses and partying and going out to clubs. But I know, and I assure you that they know that it will now somewhat become here, you know, few spots in terms of partying here and partying there. I'm just talking about nightlife. So nightlife will affect people that own bars, clubs, pubs, you know, establishments where people have to either take cab and go there, or people will have to drive from far off suburbs in Windhoek to get to these famous hangout spots. And that's just the nightlife. That's just the nightlife. Most probably also it might, and these are just human behavior. I'm just highlighting human behavior in terms of how people might react with regards to especially taxi drivers. So cab drivers might not even want to, you know, browse around late at night to try and look for these late clients that are knocking, that are trying to go home from a night out, you know, chilling with friends and so on. I'm still not there with those guys. But I see we've got our first caller coming through, so let me get this call in, and then we start off with our engagements here on air. Eagle of N, well, my apologies. Please do come through. I just reacted a bit too late in terms of answering the phone. If you don't have the phone, if you don't have the studio number here in studio, it's 083-288-401, 083-288-401. Let's get the next caller in. Eagle of M, good evening.
Let's do it, how's the evening?
It's a bit quiet, sitting here with a headache, but I've got a good story to tell you guys, but I actually also want to hear from you guys. So what do you want to share?
I want just to go to the 10% of the oil.
I thought that message reached you. But nonetheless, let's hear it. What do you want to share?
Yeah, you see, Dwight, man. We need to have a frank conversation in this country.
Yeah.
So you know, let us not speak just for the sake of speaking in Agri FM, because this idea has been listened to many people. And when, in terms of when we come to the lady and trying to debate and we want to submit our opinion, our suggestion, and we make the recommendation, so it must be taken in that regard. You understand?
Yeah.
So, you see, all these things, let me be very frank. Me, myself, I'm against it, the 10%. And I'll tell you why. I want to give you a scenario. During 2012 up to 2017, have you checked the statistic of 31 mining company in Namibia? 31 mining company. All of them, in terms of revenue tax that they paid to the government, it was 1 billion. 31 mining company. So the beers alone, the Mabama Lane alone, they paid, they made a profit of 65 billion, and they paid tax to the government, revenue of tax to the government for 11 billion. So the 31 company made a combined profit of 85 billion that they take out of Namibia. 85 billion, but they only paid 1 billion in collateral taxes. Now, when we come to oil, we understand about loyalties. Yes, I understand people are saying it's risky. But we have the government that invested 500 million taxpayer money in Russia. So if they can take risk to invest in Russia, why they can't take a risk to invest in their own natural resources?
Why not?
It's what I'm saying. So if you can take our money and invest it in Russia, why can't you invest it to explore our oil? That's why there is no one who will come from State House or wherever in this country to come and tell me we can't invest because we are scared of the risk. But you invested our money in Russia. Now, if you ask them, maybe that money was invested just to manufacture gun and all those. But we don't believe in gun. We don't believe in violence. You understand? So no one will come and tell me we are scared of to invest in a risk. Oil is too risky. No, that's nonsense. We must, we must be honest. Because it's our country, it's taxpayers' money. You cannot invest. That's what I'm saying. How it is relevant, whoever, even David Nyoma, we know when he got job at GRPF, he was not even interviewed. You understand? He was pushed there. But how did he can be able to sign money out of the country, but he don't want to sign money to invest in his own country? And we, this conglomeration, this company, like Dwight, I know you are well acquainted with this. This company has benefited because you know most the Namibian Investment Board at You know how it helped this company, AGOA agreement, these people that were manufacturing clothes in Lamatex.
Mm.
You see, the same company that will come and explore oil, they will benefit.
Mm.
So they have rebates that they are not going to pay tax when they're importing their equipment. Mm. You understand?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, who is fooling who?
That's a major risk. Who is fooling who?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we are taking a risk to allow investor who are importing in machine, and they will come and drill oil in our country. We don't charge them for bringing in their machine, mm. but most of the profit is going outside the country.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
But we are giving them a rebate code so that they import in their goods tax free.
Mm. And then, and then they also appoint Americans or Australians even to work on those oil rigs. Because that will happen.
When I'm against the 10%, I'm saying, do we have Namibians who are acquainted to come in an influential position in those oil rigs? Because I feel majority of the oil rigs that are coming here, like from Nigeria,
mm.
Nigerians have position in those rigs. South Africans have position in their rigs.
Mm.
But do we have people with fiduciary experience, or we are just debating for the sake of debating?
That is also the thing. Yeah, that's also the thing.
Yeah, we must ask ourselves this question. Because me, like what I understand from the onset, why should I buy shares?
In what you already own?
Yes, in the natural resources that's in my country.
Because all it sounds like it's just the value addition that you might be buying in, but not the ownership.
Yeah, exactly. Because what I'm saying now, Calendly, the company that discovered the fuel or another oil block in Angola,
mm.
the Angolan government put up policy saying, you set up a refinery here,
mm.
and the Angolan government has 35%. So if Angola has 35%, why not Namibia?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. They must go back to the drawing board and say, the 10% should come because the oil is in our country.
Mm.
Then the other 10%, that's all we must negotiate.
Mm.
At least we must get 20.
True.
But people must stop saying the thing is expensive. If the Gata or Shells or whatever they don't want, mm. then we must explore another avenue. It's unfortunate because we are just 2.5 million in this country. We have enough resources already, fish, uranium, and other.
Mm.
The oil can wait.
The oil can wait.
Yes.
Because here's the worst thing. If we're going to develop that green hydrogen energy in the same time frame that we're going to have the oil, then it makes the oil useless.
Exactly.
It'll make the oil useless because that'll just mean we will just be exporting, and that'll be like, what do you call that supplementary income that you have on the side? You know, passive income.
Exactly. And what I don't trust is that Mr. James Muyupe, who's made it to be a commissioner of Namibia Hydrogen,
mm.
but he's a foreigner. Yeah? And the president is telling us apparently he's a Pan-Africanist. But the same president made the recommendation on the person to be appointed as head of SME Bank. Yeah?
Mm.
Mr. Enoch Kamshimba, a Zimbabwean expatriate.
Mm.
That guy, the SME Bank was eaten up. Why they are not tracing or looking, why they are not after that guy? He's only telling people the guy is a crook. But he's not making effort for him to recover our money.
Mm.
So those are the questions that we must ask ourselves. How do we trust now Mr. James Muyupe to be a commissioner while we already have someone who has made it to be a director of a bank that's eaten up?
Mm, mm. Well, just to provide a bit of clarity, I think he did grow up in Namibia, Muyupe, because I heard now he was sort of like a classmate of a friend of mine here in Namibia, because he
mm-hmm. went,
he apparently was here at St. Paul's. So you can technically consider him Namibian because he might already have, what's the thing's name? What's that thing's name that you get?
Namibia citizenship.
A residency, yeah, permanent residency in that same.
Was Enoch Kamshimba not having permanent residence?
I don't know. I'm not privy on that one about Enoch. But I know that Enoch's original citizenship, the Zimbabwean side, was highly publicized, you know, in the various print media. So
yeah, but what I'm saying is where the heart belongs. The heart belongs home, my friend. I can guarantee you that one.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, you see, and what I'm saying, the moment we don't want to trust our own people, we won't make it. Maybe you check the passport for that guy, you can tell me it's a permanent residence. Yeah. If you check his passport, maybe. How many times he traveled to Tanzania?
Because
the artist always belong home.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you can say, what can happen to people, but the guy is here because of opportunity. He's not here because he loves Namibia.
Nobody has worked in Namibia before.
Yeah.
He has worked in Namibia. So that counts in his favor. So at least if you have to look at homegrown skills, he serves that purpose.
Okay.
Yeah. So at least in his defense, that's what we can add.
Yeah, no. Let us leave him, and it's early days. Yeah. Let us see what will happen.
Don't sound so vindictive. let's put him in one side. Let's put him in one side.
Yeah, no. I put him in a good basket, but you know, most we were not born to a bad manner, but we are taught. You understand?
Yeah, and we also observe.
In charge of our bank.
Mm.
And the bank was being eaten up, and you are telling us it's a crook run away. Huh? Yeah,
that is also true.
This is very serious, Dwight, man.
Mm. No, it is. It is, and it's still an unresolved issue.
Exactly. They must make effort to retrieve our money.
That too.
We must make effort to trace, to bring back our money so that we can have a conversation.
Mm.
Now here we have just SME Bank. Now they come up with FEMA again, another scheme to have a hand in our money again.
Mm.
You see, it's those things that we cannot trust. This kind of government, it really we cannot trust. But I'm saying we must think that my emphasis today is on the 10%. Mm. I'm against the 10%. And whoever come to refute the claim that we are supporting.
Mm.
They must bring up a robust conversation. And when we bring up a robust conversation, we must have something like what I'm saying.
Mm.
My decision is that I don't care how many money they pay when the leak is standing drilling. That one I don't care. Yeah. And it's none of our business.
Yeah.
And you cannot tell me we get 10% because we don't have money to risk. But you risk the money in Russia. No one can tell us that. They must bring our money. We want that 500 million from Russia. We want even the other 600 million that was lost before David Nyoma became the CEO.
Mm.
Yeah, they must bring those money and invest them. You can't tell us, list here, well, we have our money in SME Bank. Still the bank, you see. So they are scared when they are investing in their own country, but they are not scared when they are. They are destroying the things on their own. No, that's nonsense.
Mm. Now, can I explain to you something, just a little calculation I did in terms of one of those oil wells? If we have like 10% of that.
Yes.
So 10% of about, well, what I read about the total Shell, the Total Energies one, the second one, which was thought to be the biggest one.
Yes.
In terms of that, they mentioned it would have been 22 billion barrels approximately. Yes. So 22 billion barrels, if we wanted what? 10% of 22 billion would have been 220 million.
Mm-hmm.
So if we took 220 million and we multiplied that by 100 at least, we could at least have gotten what? We can at least look at a potential 22 billion ourselves to earn as a country. Now, do you think that's a bit too small in terms of that discussion?
22 billion?
Yeah. US.
Per annum or in a period of what?
Well, I'm just putting it there in terms of 22 billion from...
22 billion is very less because you just calculated what you get as a country.
Yeah.
Then how much is Qatar and Shell getting? That's what I want to know.
The statistics I have, that I'm telling you. Mm.
In 2012, from 2012 to 2017, we have 35 mining companies in Namibia that taken out of this country 85 billion.
Mm.
But out of those 31 companies, we only get 1 billion.
Mm.
It's not justifiable depending on the poverty and the crisis we find our country in.
Mm, mm.
Because you can't give away food while your own children at home are crying.
That is true. That is true, yeah.
We must ask ourselves this question. That's what I'm saying. Wait.
Mm.
And this, what I continue to say, we have our government, when this Chinese, these stones that you see, marble stones,
mm.
that's exported through Valves Bay,
mm.
they are exported on EP jets.
Mm.
Yeah? So how can you allow material to get out of the country VAT-free? Why with Valves Bay with sharks like this?
Mm.
Why don't you bring those investors? They must see how your people are suffering.
Mm.
So how can you justify a Namibian is living at a dump site, but you are exporting the natural resources of your country for free?
Mm. Mm.
And those people that are living on your resources are well off, and your people are starving. They are failing to make the end meet. How can you explain that to a Namibian?
Mm.
Who is sleeping on empty stomach? And you are there acting as you are their leader.
Mm. Exactly. We must answer
those questions.
We unfortunately have to end our discussion here because I only have an hour. So by 7:30, then we'll be done. Yeah, so I have to get the next one. No problem. We'll still touch base again tomorrow.
All right.
See you again. Sure. Now, getting away from that discussion, guys, in terms of still looking on, and I'll stress again, although I was slightly accommodative in terms of the current discussion with the next caller, but we still have about 15 minutes left. However, I'll quickly jump into a short ad break. From the ad break, we'll come right back heading into the rest of the program. Stay tuned, guys, here on your number one talk radio station, and this is the Business and Economic Zone.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive health care.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say that?
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shell life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811-660707. This is a first for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the great white.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now we come back from that extended break, and you're on the Business and Economic Zone, guys, so we technically only have like 12 minutes left. However, I still have space for at least one more on-air interaction in terms of coming through from you callers. If you don't have the studio line, it's 083-288-401. However, getting back into our discussion. Now, I know I was, sort of like taken off a little bit of track in terms of where I stated. Let's stay away from the 10% discussion regarding the oil fines. The unfortunate thing is, that still has to take place. I mentioned the green hydrogen energy, or the green hydrogen the implementation and its phase might be running parallel to that of the oil. The setting up even of the drilling and the pumping of the oil, of those two oil finds off the coast of Namibia. Now, consider this, guys. Both of them will have approximately the same timeline, the same time frame, the same implementation phase even, and even the same sort of manner in terms of meeting energy needs. Remember, oil, coal, uranium, they're all forming part of the energy market. Now, that's not where I started for tonight's discussion, but we are progressing in from that discussion point. Obviously, guys, I just want to stress one more thing. Do remember that we still have, in terms of, when one of you still comes through, we need to condense it. I have to apologize. I know that's an issue in terms of timekeeping on my side, but let me stress, we've got the next 10 minutes left for this evening's program. And let's get the next caller through, who's calling right now. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm all right, my brother.
No problem. I can hear you driving, so I just want you to start. Don't worry.
No.
Oh, okay.
Just a passenger.
All right, that's good. Okay, that's great, All right, you can start. Just start shooting.
Yeah. Mm. Isn't it, the thing is that I think what you have in Namibia, we have our government who is really telling us, especially in the West, in the marginalized press. Remember one thing is that we have an issue with the outside mind, where our government is living now, having a step for Chinese. But remember that it's our resource. And again, we are owing Chinese. So I think somehow people who are negotiating in the behalf of the government, they're supposed to be giving some present with either take it, or if they don't want that one, then you leave it. Because I am sure what they are doing, these people are negotiating on behalf of the government, they are getting money. I mean, they are getting also their own present instead of the government. Listen, you cannot negotiate on the 10%. Will you not have the resource? Even this person, you know, he spends a lot of funds for himself to fund the oil in Namibia. Why you don't have that policy that, no, if you find it, then this is what you are negotiating to give us 10%. We let her leave it so we can find somebody else who is going to give us more present. Why are you not going for 50?
Yeah.
What does it like for us to do 50?
Yeah.
Even the way we are putting, they are putting up that fund to win Syria. We can do 50. But we have a lot of money with the hyper in Namibia. I can tell you, my brother, when you go to social security, we don't know how much money is supposed to be there. But we know that social security, the aim is to make the life better for the workers. But what's happening?
Yeah.
You might find even some women who are employed who don't give it there. The same with men. And the men, whatever to benefit out of the situation, unless you get injured or person.
Yeah.
And the beneficiary, they're only getting I think it's only what? 15%, because they don't get much.
That is true. I just wanted to ask you, have you heard the discussion that I had with the MD of NAMCOR, where he explained, why they got the 10%?
No. I didn't get time, man. I didn't even listen to him at all.
Okay, no problem. Also, in your defense, because it was in March or end of Feb, that discussion. But he did stress it was the input costs, the value of that input cost. Obviously, all that would have been in US dollar. And you are making a valuable point in terms of saying, at least then take it or leave it approach. But my major concern is, and this is where I come in the middle, is we're going to have two energy projects running parallel, meaning next to each other the whole time. That's going to be these two oil discoveries. And secondly, the other one is this green hydrogen energy. Now,
again,
In terms of my basic understanding of economics, even that looks like opportunity cost, meaning we need to choose which one is a priority. Which one?
When we are going to, you know that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm saying, that, you know, sometimes we better leave it the resource which is there for the next generation, because we don't know what we are doing.
Mm.
Isn't it? You cannot just give up the resource for nothing at all. What is 10%? At the end of the day, what are we going to benefit at the end of the day? Looking at our little petrol is going to reduce? I don't think so.
Mm.
That 10% is going to be. I don't think it's easy to be like Angolan oil where they are having oil. Mm. At the end of the day, for the local people, they are not really enjoying what they are getting.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, only us, we don't feel that the Kwanja is so, because we know that when it comes to exchange, Namibian dollars are up somewhere there.
Mm.
That's why we found it so cheaper for us.
Yeah.
But the Angolan people, they are feeling the peace.
Yeah.
So it's the same we're going to be here in Namibia that we are about oil, but what are we benefiting out of it?
Mm.
The same with our fish, which we are having here, but we are only fighting for Matibangela.
Mm.
Yeah? You never see a monga, you never see what fish has. So all the fish are going.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, you are saying it's our natural resource. No, it's only natural resource for some other people who are well connected. Individuals and the majority that we are pulling the poverty here in Namibia.
Mm.
It's the problem.
Yeah.
It's the same with this hydrogen which the president is pushing off.
Mm.
Who will be expert on that project?
Mm.
How many Namibians? I heard that even the people are going to be involved around somewhere, some 300 or 1,000 or 200 somewhere there.
Yeah.
Is that our stating poverty? When you are talking about multi-million dollars budget, at the end of the day, we are not going to benefit anything.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is sometimes let us put up a presenter with a person who is negotiating, who is a consultant of government, going to negotiate about it.
Mm.
Let us say if the project we are coming up with, like hydrogen, then we know that at least we have 45% or we have 30%. If they don't want, then they can start. There will be another people who is interested.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing which we let letting uranium to go to Chinese.
Mm.
But why a government always borrowing money? Why cannot borrow money to keep uranium? I think it's, we are second in the world, if I'm not mistaken.
No, we are part of the top 10. We even beat Australia, or we're just below Australia in uranium output, but the number one country is Russia. And then we in Australia and Canada, we are in their top 10.
But look what is happening here. Even the people who are working in that mine, how well they are paid. So it's what I'm saying. Sometimes when you are negotiating, let us look to where our policy lies. Because we need to use this natural resource. Either maybe sometimes again we are giving up within a minor. We say, no, you know, we need 20 hostels in the country. Do that for us, then we give it the mine. It will be better. We negotiate according to our natural resource.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we are getting 10%. What is it now? 10%.
Well, it's a
fact. That is going to contribute in our economy.
It's a start. Let me say it's a start, at least.
Yeah, really. You see, this thing is like when you are talking about my friend, which is so sad.
Mm.
You know, it's what I'm saying. What is going to give us that we are proud to be an Namibian if we don't have the rent?
Mm.
We don't eat our fish, which we are supposed to enjoy it in Namibia, where you can pick up your hook, go to swap up, and then you fish for the weekend, then you come back to window.
Mm.
You are not allowed. So, this is what I'm saying. This thing is that's why we say we are not, some of us, we don't see where the benefit of independence, except the speech which we have in Namibia, where we complain in the radio. That's all we are allowed.
Mm.
Otherwise, when it comes to natural resources, or whatever is supposed to benefit other people which are benefiting out of, I mean, it's only people who are enjoying it, but the majority, my friend, if you look at the people who have been in Kambasu for 32 years, what do you expect? If a person was born in Kambasu, it's 32 years now.
Yeah.
It's already having a kid again, which is living in Kambasu for the next 5 or 10 years to go. What is this now? Is what are you say with the bright country to be? Come on, man. Something needs to be done, really, seriously.
That's also true, yeah. That's also true. But that brings us...
Let me give you other people. Thank you, brother.
No problem. Thanks for coming through.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
No problem. Now, that brings us, guys, to the end of tonight's discussion. But in terms of ending off, heading into sort of like the end discussion point here on the Business and Economic Zone, I just want to let you guys know, unfortunately, but not unfortunately, it's not unfortunate, it's actually more of an opportunity. But the Business and Economic Zone is actually just an hour long from 6:30 up to 7:30. In that same vein also, let's try and condense, guys. So just as a short announcement for tomorrow, or looking ahead to tomorrow's the engagement, we have to, you know, contain and be and condense our interactions. Now, I'll quickly go a step into a short ad break. From the ad break, I'll just end off in terms of, you know, a little bit of the tidbits that I wanted to share with. And then we will head into the matriarch's discussion, as she will follow on right immediately after this. Stay tuned here on your number one talk radio station, and this is the Business and Economic Zone.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information.
Now, coming back, guys, from that brief break, and as mentioned, heading into sort of like the closing or the closure of the closing segment of this of tonight's discussion point here on the Business and Economic Zone. Just to indicate also, guys, so in terms of how the next thing, the next couple of weeks can look like, and this is just, you know, in terms of a very amateurish sort of like forecast and prediction. So you've got the geopolitical situation in Europe escalating even further with Russia maneuvering forces towards the Finnish border in terms of sending out a clear warning to Finland and Sweden. Now, I'm mentioning this because I have to reiterate it once again as to the first part of this tonight's discussion, that in terms of how the roadmap of what conflict, or what role a war or conflict plays on the global energy market, is that it's not good for business. It isn't. It's not good for business, guys. Because look where we find ourselves. Look where we find ourselves. Now, I know, and this is not in terms of, putting a bit of blame on the two callers that I had in today's session, but we've got to look at the issue that will stare us in the face. As I mentioned, guys, leave the 10% stake in the oil finds, or even the percentages or the ownership of the current mines in Namibia, the mines that are operational in them. Leave those things. There is an imminent threat to our economic stability. The imminent threat. And guys, this is some serious stuff. This is for you and me. This is for all of us. Leave the oil stake. Leave the stake of the oil. Look at how the geopolitical scenario in the world is not reaching to a beneficial state for everyone. What is this beneficial state? Meaning a rapid decline in the price per barrel, crude oil, as well as also somewhat an alleviation, or even just a sense of saying, you know what, let's try and normalize. Let's try and cool down a little bit. Let's take a breather. Let's stop this. Because here's the thing, guys. We are at the most furthest ends on this planet from the oil production hotspots in the country. And if anyone is going to mention, you know, we as Namibians can just drive over the border to Angola and, you know, go get oil or petrol and just drive back. The unfortunate thing is you've got to understand that NAMPOL and immigration have been actively been arresting and confiscating that same said oil and and petroleum product for the past couple of months already. And there's a clear reason why they do it, because there's something known as customs and excise. So if you think as a Namibian to just walk over a border, go get petrol on the other side of the border and walk back with it in a jerry can, you're sorely mistaken. Because it clearly means it's customs and excise. You didn't pay an import duty. And if you didn't pay an import duty, then they will confiscate it. If they confiscate it and you put up a fight, they will arrest you. So that's not a short-term strategy even. It doesn't. Now, here's the thing. With the way the situation is tending to look, guys, things will not become easy. Things will not. Even though we have the myriad of problems within our country, even though we have that, we might see an issue on the horizon in terms of the 10% stake, in terms of those oil fines, even that. Here's the thing. I can tell you now. Well, I'll bet a 10 cent on it. But we will have another fuel price increase. We will. We will, guys. That's the clear and present danger to Namibia's economy. It's got nothing to do with an oil stake. That is too far even to even think about. It's too far. It's too far. As far as I can see from the look of things, that is already like a done deal. It's like done. Just leave it. We the media, we will revisit it. In terms of, you know, when further details come out about it. But just leave it where it is. Because right now, there are countries that are scrambling for energy supply. And energy supply is anything from coal to generate electricity to petrol. Guys, for anyone who was alive in the 70s and in the 60s, when South Africa was in charge of Namibia, when South Africa was hit with sanctions, it was not a good time. Because if we can't buy petrol, which is the worst case scenario, you don't want to see queues at service stations. We don't want to see that. The clear and present danger, as I also mentioned, is that in terms of as fuel becomes more expensive, we will be paying more in terms of as a country. We will pay more to get our fuel here. That is our clear and present danger at this moment in time. At this moment in time. We cannot for now worry about whose ownership stake is where. We cannot. We cannot worry now about even what can I pull out? The other aspects that already exist in terms of who represents us where. We cannot worry about that now. Let's not worry about it. Let's worry about the clear and present danger known as this Ukraine conflict. Now, in that same vein, guys, it'll also sort of like, you know, provide us with a picture in terms of understanding how bad this thing could get, because it'll get bad for everyone. It will. But nonetheless, it brings us to the end of tonight's program. And on that same vein, stay tuned here on your number one talk radio station, as the next programming, it will surely be set to start.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean on the silver platter
in terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shelf life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811-660707. This is a fest for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the Great White.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mwari kutega, mwari kutega, mwari kutega. You're chilling with the matriarch on Eagle FM. Today is the 12th of the 4th month, 2022. It is a Tuesday evening. The time is 19:40. Now, I'm 10 minutes late, but get this, it was a whole altercation. But that's a story for another day. You're chilling with the matriarch, the creme de la creme, the ultimate drip, the everything. I am the disrespectful child of Eagle FM. I'm talking about everything. I am ruffling your feathers. I am addressing the elephant in the room, and we're talking about it, ladies and gentlemen. We're definitely, definitely doing it. Now, tonight's conversation, wait a minute. All right. So, on the attendance for tonight, my number one on the attendance for tonight is Bowler from Oluno Correctional Services. Please, he is number one on the list. No Shekupe can win. No Me Maria can win. No Ndina can win. Nobody can win because this man called an hour prior to be number one on the attendance of the matriarch. Please, shout out to you, Bowler. Shout out. And he also said that he's getting out of jail in a month or so. So he's going to come and look for me. Yeah. And then my superior asked, like, okay, so what did you do? You know, like, what did you do to land yourself there in that situation? You know, he's like, no. Yeah, it was small things, man. It was motorbike batteries. I was like, ooh, at least it's not murder or rape. At least. So even if a convict is coming after me, at least it's a petty crime. At least it's not all that big. All right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight our conversation is going to be around social responsibility. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about social responsibility because I feel most of us don't know what it is. Most of us don't think it is important, and most of us, we overlook it a lot. Playing. Good evening, Kola. What's popping?
Me Maria will be the second leader.
Man, how can you guys be beaten by Bowler? Bowler is even behind bars. Eh?
No, I was listening to Dwight, my dear. I had to get all the information. So Dwight take all my attention, and then I couldn't do anything. So I'm number two, my dear.
So you're number two.
Yeah, so I'll call in after the story.
All right, after the conversation, yeah?
Say all right.
All right, me Maria. All right, that was Mia Maria solidifying her spot on the attendance. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I feel like I have created a mini little monster of competitive people. But I like the competition behind it, as long as the competition seems to have substance, you know. We need substance, you understand. Good evening, caller that has no idea what I'm going to talk about tonight.
You understand.
Please stop allowing corruption. People are calling after the conversation. It must be after the conversation. So please stick to your rule. No. There is no such nonsense.
I told you already. Everybody is corruptible.
I know you are the presenter, but I'm in charge.
Class Captain, how did you let Bola come through?
No.
Ewa, on the kumakinga present number three.
Third. I'm not number three.
You are third. Okay, fine. You're third. Vibrosity.
Right. I'm not Shakshangal.
All right. Bye.
Shivute Buildware and Hardware Supplies Oyem Baranga Jadingi Konori Yoshirongo Mokurandifa Oitongifo Naikwai Hapu Shivute Okuna Epaturolowina Lostoreavo Ipe Ipe Noiri Momtungiro Wopashina Nina Wanigiro Kuyanja Eakuro Dingi Ke Customer Devo Koneka Epatureri Umumafkom Logona Hamanuya April 2022 Oyoina Endado Diriko Shirukaku Ongashi Esa Mende Omakende Hasa E Pala E Daratide Nete E Daratide stara e paipi domeva era ma doma kende nomi vero oi pereki yo IBR oshoyo oi pereki yo kwa cola oinima ofurundudu e naku dokula mena menire deironga hano safety boots oma karanyana no ilongi fo yo ludikeshe shivote otahirifayo oma shina kuranga oilonga ya kula hano earth moving equipments and machineries indokerita rereko Shashi ombiriha oyo toro mbwere. Shivote okulimo ndangwa monjira akura. Vata erafana. Nofkora yo Heroes Primary School. Odashi hapu ku Mr. Onesmus Nekondo Shivote ko 0811-278145. Nenge nora itatu imwe natunatu nano nano nola mbali mbali. Tidirikane uhapitirilopo ke paturulo eloina. Lilikomoro makao mafiko mlongo na hamano ya April 2022. Olo talikaningwa pambelewa kutate kuru omkwanirwa washitunda shondonga. Ogutame kapotundi onimwoi yungura.